able to act in a timely manner. Over many years, I've found that the greatest aid to effective decision-making is listening carefully. 3 decades ago, as a department head in chemistry at Urbana-Champaign, I developed the personal practice of talking to everyone in the primary circle of those likely to be affected by a significant decision. In that job and all later ones, I found, to some lasting surprise, that people will grant the right of decision to the decision maker if that person has heard them out. It is not necessary to accept their views, but one does actually have to listen, not just go through the motions, and people can tell. I commend this practice to every officer and even to the trustees within bounds of practicality. In the end, it's quicker than not doing it. It sometimes allows one to avoid egregious missteps, and it clarifies and facilitates rather than paralyzing decision making. Let me stress again that timely decision making is extremely important at every level. Faculty processes that fail consistently on this point should be changed. Administrative officers who cannot act timely should be replaced. Wonderful progress can be made in a university with governance that manifests a clear understanding of mission and purpose, integrity throughout, a commitment to the institutional interest, able players, and a consistently timely action. But I'm just here to remind and not to illuminate. I learned practically everything I know on this subject in my 25 memorable years at the University of Illinois. It's a pleasure to be back. Thank you.
Thank you. You were very thoughtful, and we very much appreciate it. Dr. DeWater?
Thank you, Bob, and Mr. Chairman, and President Easter, and members of the board, and members of the University of Illinois family. I thank you for this invitation to come and share some views with you on an issue that I feel very strongly about and have talked about over a number of years. But first, I want to commend the board for this timely retreat. It gives an opportunity to interact with your new President Easter, who I've had the privilege of serving with on some other boards, and to make sure then that you have clear lines of responsibility and can move forward to make a much stronger University of Illinois. I remember a CEO, a friend of mine, who said in his boardroom he had a large picture of a lighthouse. And the purpose of the lighthouse was to say something about the role of the board versus the role of the CEO of the company. And the lighthouse was not there to steer the ship. That was the role of the CEO. But the lighthouse was there to keep the ship off the rocks. And that's part of the role of the board, to make sure the accountability is there and that they provide the kind of oversight that's necessary to keep the ship off of the rocks. I think Bob had heard me give a lecture at the Association of Public and Land-Grant Universities called the George Washington Carver Lecture when I was talking a bit about the challenges that I saw with land-grant universities, and part of that challenge dealt with the whole issue of access. And I shared some views on that, and I want to share some views with you on that as well. And I would just say then that the need to recruit, admit, and graduate a more diverse student population is mandated, in my mind, by at least 2 compelling reasons. The first one, simply stated, is it's the right thing to do. And secondly, that as we look at the rapidly changing demographics, it will require you to recruit and admit more minority students if you're going to maintain your desired student enrollment, because the other students just will not be there to provide you with the enrollments unless you increase the number of minority students that you enroll. It is the right thing to do because our institutions were created to serve all of our people, not a privileged few. Our land-grant universities were created to be the, in quotes, the people's universities.